There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Happy race day. This is Stacking Pennies presented by Mobile One Spare Change Edition. We are recording live from Daytona. Myself, Ryan Flores, God knows where he's at, but he is getting locked in, ready to go back over the wall today. And excited to have back on the show. Excited to get her ingrained each and every week. Miss Danielle Trotta, how's it going, guys?
Good morning. Looks like a beautiful day for racing, Corey.
Oh, the sun is shining, the wind is blowing, and, well, it's Florida. You can't say no rain because it'll pop up in 5 minutes. But the forecast looks pretty good for some racing.
Dude, it is hot and slick down here. So let's just jump right into it. These guys that qualified good, with it being this hot and slick, are they going to race good or what's going on?
I hope not. I don't know. I mean, we did not have any speed in our Team Nigu Chevy yesterday, which we generally don't have a lot of speed, super speed of qualifying. I mean, we don't put a lot of effort there, which, you know, is a little bit... disappointing at times when you want to qualify well and you qualify 37th, but we know we've hedged our bet to having our car drive well. And when you do that, you make the car a little bit softer, a little bit more compliant, especially if the track temp gets to 110, 115. A lot of Xfinity guys were complaining about it last night. So we've hedged our bet to making a bit more of a compliant and maneuverable car. So hopefully that pays off tonight, because Danielle had a good observation from qualifying. So what did you see?
Well, it was kind of surprising. I mean, the Fords are always good at speedways, but to see the Stewart Haas cars all qualify inside the top 10, Briscoe's on the pole. And I thought NBC did a good job of kind of pointing it out on the broadcast. It kind of looked like they were crab walking a little bit. They did some side-by-sides. What do you think was going on there?
Yeah, so there's still a lot of adjustability in the rear end suspension of the cars. NASCAR band-aids your toe link lugs, because you adjust toe link to to change your bump steer. So as the car travels, it can steer the tires one way or the other. And if you steer the car, you would be steering the rear tires pointing to the left to get the blade out of the air. When you do that, you take a lot of total downforce away because you're trying to hide the spoiler. That's the intent, to make good straight line speed by yourself. But you sacrifice a lot of drivability. You sacrifice a lot of longevity with your car. And I also think it puts it closer. You see a lot of guys now with this next gen car, when they get bumped and they take a big bump draft scenario, it sits on the left for a bump stop. And I think that since you're already over to the left, it puts those cars even closer to the verge of getting pushed and sitting on that left rear bump stop and poking the fence. And the question on everybody's mind coming down here is, how does the race play out? Is there going to be desperation? Is there guys going for a regular season championship trying to get 15 points? Is there guys within the playoffs already locked in to try to get 5 more points? And there's obviously guys such as myself outside the playoffs with no chance to point their way in, that this is our one opportunity to throw a Hail Mary into the playoffs. And for a team like ours, you know, Daytona presents an opportunity to change the bottom line financially of our team over 7 figures, probably closer to 8 figures over the next 3 years. So there's a lot of weight and a lot of opportunity here today in Daytona. So I wanted to pick your brain though, Ryan. You first week back in what, 6 weeks? Are you nervous? Are you excited? How you feeling?
No, I'm ready to go, dude. It was a good little break. I think it was kind of an awkward blessing to get some time off. And if, like I said, I didn't have to go to like if you're going to draw up a part of the schedule to miss Michigan, Pocono, Watkins Glen, Indy, you know, backward stops, that's the time you're going to miss a Pickery guy. But yeah, I'm just excited to get back with the team and get down there. We're pitted not too far from you. We're both on the back end of pit road. We're in 32 with an opening out. You are in 30, kind of in the hornet's nest. So best of luck to you with pit stall selection number 37 tonight.
Well, yeah, we got them right where I want them, out front. I mean, if I'm going to win tonight, I got to earn it and pass every single one of them.
But yeah, we're in a match. Like, so last year we were in the position where we had to earn our way into the playoffs. And with the three car winning, we got wrecked and we had to fix the car and beat the damage repair clock. And when I look at this week and I see what kind of Bubba Wallace is going through, it's not as tight, but we had a little bit of a cushion last year because Kurt Busch pulled out of the playoffs early. So there was a little bit of a cushion for us with the three car winning. We were still able to be in it. But like the top six guys in qualifying are all not locked in. And then you look at, you know, some of the Fords that have speed, like Ryan Preece, and there's no shortage of storylines. And I think the biggest one for this weekend, and I think he's kind of put himself on an island, I probably would have kept it closer to my chest, is Denny Hamlin talking about how much he's going to help Bubba Wallace, because now his cards are on the table. If I'm Ty Gibbs or I'm anybody in the Gibbs camp, I'm a little frustrated with that.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of surprising. I'm still, like, surprised. I didn't foresee Briscoe scoring the pole and all the Stewart Haas guys qualifying as well as they did. But like Corey said, are they going to pay for it in the race? You know, like, even Chad Knaus was talking this week. He's like, you know, it's a great headline when the Hendrick cars are on the front row for the 500. But you've got to be there at the end and race well. So you wonder if they sacrifice a little bit on Friday and seeing if it pays off Saturday. Bubba qualified fourth. As you said, he's going to be up front. I mean, are you going to help in your situation, Ryan? You guys are locked in on the 12. The 2's got to get in. Anything you
can do? I think the Penske cars in general have been the best at helping each other in the past, especially Brad and Joey. I think about back in those days, like when they would work together, they got Brad transferred through Talladega one time, kind of on a Hail Mary where they were together. But there's a lot of points on the line too, right? You can, where we're at in points, we can get the sixth in points pretty easily. And if you get five more points or six more points even to run you through the playoffs, that's a huge deal, as we see when you get down to the round of eight and trying to make it to Phoenix. So yeah, I'm sure that if there are opportunities there, teammates will help teammates, but stage racing, man, you got to work. You got to work for your own team to get as many points as you can for yourself.
Well, if last night was any indication, we're going to see about this much teammate working together. I mean, those guys were all over the racetrack, leaving anybody out to dry. If you had to run, it didn't matter who was behind you. If your teammate had been pushing you for 15 laps, you're dumping them. You're trying to get the spot. You're side drafting your teammates. You're not letting your teammates in. I think you're going to be seeing more of that than you're going to see people being nice and cozy and working together. I honestly think that. Now, you know, there's like, you hinted to like, there's inner team workings and team, you know, like camaraderie or, you know, a Team Penske is going to marry themselves to their three cars, Stewart Haas, a Hendrick. But then there's still like an overall global OEM philosophy that a Chevy wants you to push a Chevy, a Ford wants you to push a Ford. But I think when we get down to it, these cars are so hard to form a run, and now the drivers and the spotters are understanding how speedway racing is. I don't think that, yeah, you know, Denny Hamlin had some comments on his podcast this week. He has been outspoken about pushing the 23 over the 54, but a lot of those times you rarely get an opportunity to pick who you're going to push. Most of the time it's I got to push this guy because this is going to put myself in the best position to win the race. So, you know, it sounds good, and it, you know, it makes a headline, makes some clickbait for some articles this week. But I would be hard pressed to think that coming out of turn four, Denny Hamlin's going to have the choice to push the 54 or the 23. He's going to do what he can to put his 11 car in the best place to win. Because at the end of the day, he cares about winning more than pushing anybody else in the playoffs, I think.
Well, he's trying to win the regular season championship too, so he's got to look out for himself. Like, but to be fair, like, he was asked in a dream scenario, what would you do? And he's like, I want my car in. You know, I want the 23 in, and I get that. We were asking on Sirius, the fans yesterday, guys, like, what would be your dream scenario and how this race plays out Saturday night? And there was a lot of love for Chase. There was, don't get me wrong, like, a lot of people want to see the 9 pull off a miracle. I mean, this is a game 7 moment. You know, like, in sports, it does not get any bigger than game 7. And that's what NASCAR's done. But a lot of the dream scenarios that we got were that 7 car. They were like, they want to see Corey pull it off. Let's go.
I have a unusual feeling of, like, peace and just, like, confidence about it. I walked in yesterday, like, a little bit different, you know, like, a little bit of different pep in my step. I don't know what it is. It might just be, like, all the good things that we've got going on as a team. We've had a lot of pace the last couple of weeks. But I came through the tunnel yesterday feeling a little different. And you get let down a little bit when you lay down a heater of a 37th place lap time of qualifying. But I think that it's going to play out like we saw last year, where there's maybe 12 cars that aren't involved in it at the end. And we're going to play our cards the best that we can with the speed in our car. And hopefully we can find a couple of good drafting partners to race smart and to flip guys potentially on green flag pit strategies that we always see here at a speedway. But I'll say that I was thinking about this in the shower this morning. It would be unbelievable, but I would not be surprised if you saw the 7 car win.
Come on.
So I'll leave it with that.
Corey, can you tell us, have you been a part of, like, any Chevy discussions? Do those happen today amongst manufacturers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they happen, but, you know, we're like the redheaded stepchild.
Hey, Ryan was dogging on the hangout in the back strategy on Wednesday. I know qualifying dictates a lot of this. Corey, there is no shame in being there at the end and hanging out in the back a little bit if you need to.
Well, here's the thing. I don't have to work my way back there. I already started. So, like, my strategy is kind of made for me. But it makes zero sense for us to try to – now, I've been on both sides. I've been in the meetings, the comp meetings. Like, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to get track position because it's hard to get, and I'm going to try to hold on to it all day. And sometimes it's your day and the ball bounces your way and you can work yourself in the top 5. And then sometimes you have just enough speed to drive right to the middle of the crash. So I don't think that our car has the single car pace to be able to make a lot of aggressive moves. So I think, with that being said, our strategy is kind of made for us. But, you know, with the old car, you could make moves with, like, 10 to go. But now you have to be intentional with your moves after the last green flag stop, because once the green flag stop cycles, that's kind of your shot to win the race if you cycle into the top 3 or 4 or not. So that's where the business is going to pick up. I know Sparks is going to call a great strategy and try to work with some good cars to flip and be on the right side of that. But with all that being said, Danielle, who's your pick?
How do I sit here with the driver of the 7 and not go with the 7, buddy? I'm pulling for
it. I don't know. People do it every week. So
Ryan's got his win. The 12's in. So that makes my job easy today, Corey. I got your back. Go get him.
You're already a kiss ass. You only been on the show a week, Danielle.
You're my people.
Who you got?
I'm going out on a limb. I want to see. I'm not going to pick you because Danielle already did. But if I had to pick somebody to kind of Hail Mary their way in, I'm going to go with, like, a surprise, like a Ryan Preece. I think that he's on the backside of the top 10.
Corey, I was thinking about this too. Like, a win tonight, not only is it at Daytona, like, one of the most famous speedways in the entire world, and we know the NASCAR history that's tied into Daytona. It's your first cup win, gets you into the playoffs. How do drivers look at the summer race versus the 500?
Man, there's so much less buildup. So, you know, rarely do I get to, on a Friday when we come down here to Daytona, like, go take a ride to the North Turn Grill, go down to see the landmark at the South Turn on A1A, go putt-putt, kick kick Kelly's ass by 5 strokes. Like, I just don't get to do that on a qualifying day. Because it, when you're here in February, you're here on Tuesday, and you're doing media, and you're doing, like, yeah, so much stuff. And there's, you know, 3X amount of people here. There's a lot of people here camping and things like that, but the 500 is just different. It's a lot less, like, emotionally and, like, mentally taxing like leading up to the event, which is kind of why I think you see a lot of guys, the aggression level's a little higher in this one. So I think that the handling piece, you're seeing the track get bumpy, you're seeing the track lose a lot of grip, and you know, it's hot, it's going to be, you know, 92, 93 real feel today, hot track temp, so handling's going to come into play. So hopefully it comes into our lap a little bit, and we'll see. But if I can't pick me, then I'm going to pick nobody, because I got no friends.
Hell yeah, Cor.
And that's all I got, guys.
Not looking out for anybody else. Looking out for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has the same chances at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. So I'm not going to give anybody else. Because, like, last week I, like, give Chris Bell the elbow nudge. Like, hey, man, you're my pick today. Don't mess this up for me. So now I get to, like, give myself a nudge, like, yo, man, you're my pick today, so don't mess this up for me. So that's what we got.
Good luck, boys. You got this.
Yeah. All right, guys, that is Stagging Pennies presented by Mobile One Spare Change Edition. Hope y'all enjoyed this. We've enjoyed doing it for you. Tune in tonight on NBC, ladies and gentlemen. This is the regular season finale. It all comes down to this, to set the playoff grid for 2023. Who's it gonna be? We don't know. That's why you gotta tune in. 7 o'clock tonight. Be there or be square. Have a great day.